Oh, hello there, Jeffrey. I wasn't expecting you this morning. This is quite a surprise.
Sir Winston, I apologise for my intrusion on your morning tea. I know my behaviour may seem brash and...
Rude, is the word I was thinking.
That it is, sir.
Unbecoming, even.
If I may?
Very well, you may. Proceed.
The situation on Torsa Island has taken a turn for the worse, I'm afraid. It's a war zone, sir. An active gunfight has erupted. The mansion's in flames. There was a large explosion. Multiple reports from citizens as far as 10 miles away.
I see. Do tell me, Geoffrey, what are the Americans doing about it?
What they usually do, sir. Overkill. Currently, they have 3 UAVs circling and deployed special operations onto the fray. We don't have a precise count, but our estimates are in the teens. At most, 2 squads. They're attempting to quarantine the island, but it does appear that one small boat was able to make it out.
Quarantine, you say?
Perhaps poor word choice. They've locked it down, sir.
Well, good. The Yanks made this problem. Let them handle it.
We're in the dark here, sir. Shouldn't we be in contact with the Americans and insist they explain their activities and the potential risks at stake? If there is unnatural entity loose in Scotland, we have a right to know about it.
Well, our policy is absolute secrecy. Besides, I'm sure the Crown or conventional forces can make the necessary contacts needed to...
Sir, with all due respect, the level of force we're seeing is a strong indicator that the threat is unnatural, mythos-related. That's what Pisces was created for. Not to sit on the sidelines in our own back garden.
Well, we have assessed the risk. Direct contact with any outside agency is strictly forbidden. Even acknowledgement of our own existence is strictly forbidden. We will not have the Americans prying into our internal affairs.
Internal affairs? I'm sorry, sir, I don't understand.
But the army of the third eye, Geoffrey. We have reason to suspect that the terrorists have agents at play on Torsa as well. Undoubtedly creating an incident with the Americans in their unending attempts to destabilize our government, men in the process, reveal secrets about this agency to the public.
Sir, the Americans could be of use to us in that conflict as well. My sources believe the American agents were successful in killing the Lord of Time. There were multiple reports that we could not verify due to the escalations that occurred shortly after. Instead of putting our own people at risk, we should be using the Americans and their cowboy ways to benefit our own common goals.
That's not the way they operate. When Torsa has finished burning, we will be the ones who have to conceal it. And any questions will be asked of us. Who was responsible for this? The section will have a lot of ministers to soothe and politicians to placate. No, that simply won't do. The continued safety of our operation demands that we act with discretion. We must remain within reason.
But sir, the Americans have already been made to understand they owe us for this. They're in our debt, sir.
American favours won't matter if we're facing considerable government scrutiny.
Their technology certainly would.
I find that difficult to believe.
Well, their illicit arms deal on Torsa was in fact a charade. There were mythos-related items for offer, although none of them, to my knowledge, were sold. The entire affair was a ruse to bait unscrupulous individuals to a single location and eradicate them. Either that, or someone else used the event to kill a lot of rivals.
Sounds like the Youngs were never really interested in giving their secrets away.
That's also plausible, but we'd like to put that to the test, sir. Secrets for secrets. Promise the Americans to look the other way, ignore the Torsa massacre. Clean it up for them, in exchange for some of the knowledge that they were allegedly willing to sell.
That is a bold plan, Geoffrey, but I'm afraid it's simply impossible. Section has forbidden it.
Then, for the record, sir, I disagree. Respectfully, of course. I think we should come out of the shadows and into the light on this one. Funny thing about the light. You always do keep it so dark in your office, sir. What if I was to get up and open the curtains?
Geoffrey, sit back down. You do no such thing. My God, man. What have you done? What is the meaning of this? Get out of my office.
Winston, my friend, this is for your own good.
I will not stand for this.
It's no use trying to call for security, sir. These two men are on your security force. Recognize them? They're just going to hold you down while I get the sedative ready. Please, don't struggle.
Stop this immediately. No, get that away from me. Ow!
It's the bugs, sir. They hate the light. That's how we're going to free you. That's how we're going to help you, Winston.
No. No, what are you doing with that? You can't. Get that away from me.
Just a few moments until the sedative kicks in. Just calm down, please. We need to make an opening in the back of your skull.
Oh, God, no.
Then everything will be just fine. You'll see. Your hair will cover the scar. We don't cut into the forehead anymore. I got the message. I remember what you said. Heaven is nothing if you don't make the best of the rest. Oh yeah, the times define the lines I can never go across. I lost the time.
The bolt starts, and the three of you are huddled into not this very large boat. There's enough space, but it's not a large fishing boat or a yacht in any way, shape, or form. Accompanied by this large, rather silent man, dressed in a suit and an earpiece and a rather large handgun, staying at all times right next to this also quite tall man with these kind of silvery hair and very Greek features, which you know as Michael Bellick. And the boat starts. It stalls for a little bit, and then it starts. And I would say David, well, pretty much everyone looked at maps. You're on the eastern part of Torso Island, on the east coast, which is somewhat good for you.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a straight line to Deganish, which is a part of Scotland that is kind of like just like an arc.
Okay.
So it's a straight line there, and then you're back on the actual mainland. And then from there, you can go. You can go anywhere. You're not as isolated. So the boat starts, and it just kind of goes into the dark water with this eerie little snow.
No lights.
Falling over. No lights. Yeah. Okay. So it's dark.
I assume we are all like in melee range of each other. Is that a good way to describe it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to put my M4 beside me in safety. That's it. At this range, it won't matter. My knife is... I keep my knife ready. I want to look over at gray-haired, suited guy who's the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Bellick, right?
Yeah.
And pull the patch out and say... So what the fuck is this?
Kind of looks at you, looks down at the patch. Hardened killers.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of special forces. What is this one?
Can we pause this conversation for a second?
Mm-hmm.
As they're doing that, I would, like, lead up and whisper in David's ear to keep him distracted, and I would start casting Infallible Suggestion on Bellick.
Okay, you want me to help keep them distracted?
Yeah, and I'm gonna, like, cower behind you because I have to chant some shit.
Okay.
For two turns.
So
I'm, like, piloting the boat, though, aren't I?
Yeah.
But, like, I'm at the back. I just want you to run interference for long enough for me to do it.
Gotcha.
So I will say doing this, there's no, like, subtle way to do it.
I could cause a scene.
And as you kind of begin doing it, you see the security guy just pull his gun and aim it right at you.
I'll get my knife at the ready for this guy.
So I'll bust out of there. I'll be like, whoa. Crawford, what the hell are you doing? Sometimes this dude's a little weird. He's a little eccentric, but he's good at what he does.
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of weird shit tonight, so you tell him to do to just stop whatever weird shit he's doing and we let it go.
You can, Crawford, you can sing your cult chants and all that stuff when you get home. And you can tell probably in David's eyes, like, he probably would have heard what you said or caught your intentions, and you can see he's, like, trying to play long in a way, trying to diffuse the situation, make it look like what you're doing is something more mundane.
If you shoot my guy, you're fucking dead. Just put the gun down, let him do his chanting bullshit.
Let's not shoot anybody.
Let's calm as fuck down. Bring it down.
He kind of looks at you, and he knows. So he kind of puts the gun down, puts the safety, just kind of puts his hand up.
Let's talk about this like adults.
Let's be cool.
Michael Bellick kind of goes back, was just looking at everything that was going on, looked a little bit nervous there. But it is very subtle, seems like a man who's very much in control, which tries to look the part, at least. Kind of looks back at you, Jan, and says, well, to answer your question before we were interrupted, they're a need-to-know force used by a very secretive part of the government.
Yeah, we kind of need to know right now, so who the fuck are these guys?
If they're going to try to murder us, I think we need to know.
Fair enough. They're called NRO Delta.
I'm familiar with Delta Force, but this is with the National Reconnaissance Office?
That's right. Handpicked members of NRO that obey directly to members of the board.
The board of what?
Ugh, you gotta sighs. It's research, mainly.
Fucking military-industrial complex bullshit, huh?
That's right. That's quite right. We have various branches, and I'm in charge of one of them.
Did you know Dr. Varney?
I did.
I got that big-ass phone book-sized tome thing sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
I kind of say, what's this? What is this?
I've only heard pieces here and there, but that's called the cookbook. It holds several of military secrets, state secrets as well. Highly experimental, but extremely valuable.
Why the hell is it here?
Well, that's what I wanted to find out. He kind of looks around. From what I can ascertain, and I'm sure you probably figured out the same, it's a ploy. I'm sure they have other copies. You make a somewhat private auction for the highest bidders. Well, I'm sure things did not go quite as planned, and I'm sure that Lepus had a lot of fun tonight. But I think it was simply a move to see who were the potential opponents of a member of the board. D member.
Croft.
That's right. Justin Croft.
Okay, the security guy's got his gun down and he's got the safety on. Alright, Crawford's doing whatever the fuck he does. I feel like I've got a moment here where I can lose eye contact with these guys. So I'll move back just slightly so that no one surprises me. Put the book in front of me, and I want to just open up to the middle of this. And is this like magical tome bullshit? Like, what am I looking at?
You're looking at equations and very, very advanced graphs and schematics. It looks more like, well, it looks highly scientific.
I'll flip to another page. Is it the same thing?
Same thing.
And another page.
Writings, so like notes taken about something that are kind of hard to read. It seems like someone was kind of doing it a bit obsessively. And then other equations.
Is it handwritten?
Yeah, I check another page. I'm like...
Yeah, there's a part that is handwritten, yeah.
Holy shit.
It is. And you see Bellick kind of says, yes, holy shit indeed. That is... What's in there was given to us. This is but a fraction of what we've been able to decipher.
Can I make contact with David? David, can you see me back here? Or you should...
Yeah, he's looking around.
Mm-hmm. I want to give you like a knowing look, like I think I know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of nod to you.
David does too, but he doesn't want to say anything about it.
Yeah, me either. All right. David, do you still have that bag I asked you to carry?
Yeah, probably.
Where is it?
If you could throw it on his back, I'm sure he has it with him.
Okay. I'm going to get that bag back from David with all the explosives in it.
Yep.
All right. And I move to the back of the boat as far back as I can. Unzip. I need some duct tape and just enough C4. I can make a little C4 sandwich around this book.
Yep.
And that's what I'm going to start setting up with the C4 on both sides of it, taping it all together, get the detonate wires in there. I'm starting to set this thing up. So if push comes to shove, I can probably kill all of us, but yeah, this thing is going.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing in the back of the boat.
Okay. You see that Bellick kind of sees like other people moving and everything. And he's going to ask. He might ask Crawford or anyone who kind of looked a little bit at the pages of the cookbook. In your opinion, is that whatever transferred that knowledge and some of our very best are trying to understand it, you think we should trust it?
So I'll look up from my work for a moment and say, what do you mean? Should we trust it? What does that mean?
The information that is in there, as I told you, is a fraction of other knowledge that some of the very best researchers in the world have been subjected to. It's a fraction. And that knowledge that they've learned is not from here.
Well, what gave it to us?
It has many names. We call it the Greys. I don't trust a little gray fucks.
Like aliens?
Oh shit, star people.
Star people, if you want to call them this, but...
Does Crawford have any reaction to this?
Well, Bob doesn't look like a gray. The only people that I've interacted with that look like grays are the little Edenites.
Well, that's because they... They're hybrids.
It's a human-gray hybrid?
That's right.
The Edenites?
Yeah.
They were, I imagine.
Varney said they were perfectly innocent. What the hell does that mean?
Well, it means that people under the committee and under the board and all these researchers that and all that whole thing that I'm helping with are basically left alone to do whatever the fuck freak show they want. You saw the result.
Yeah.
You seem he kind of stops and looks. Who sent you? I think I know.
Who sent you?
Crawford would say, like, you get funding for this shit and I can't fucking have enough to grow my crops? Fucking government.
Well, can you sell the products of your crops to the military complex?
Corn syrup's not worth that much, Crawford.
No, but he could probably sell them to the aliens.
Let's not talk about what I could provide the military. You don't want that either.
You see a slight smile kind of appear.
Gentlemen, what's our exit strategy, David? We can get on the land, but they're following us. They're going to follow us.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd get off the island.
What?
That's out of character. I don't know.
Do you have a line on the pilot?
I just want to get to the other side of this water and walk away, like you promised I could do.
Yep.
Like, when you say game plan, I would answer walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we still have a job to finish.
I mean, I offered already to finish that.
Yep, you did. I think we should finish the mission. I think that's our main goal. And then, yeah, we just need to get the fuck out.
I mean, unless you want to let me have it. I'll take it with me.
I got this, Crawford. I got it. I'm placing, plugging in the last of the detonators into the C4. I've armed the radio detonator device, the lights, checking the lights, make sure everything's lined up and, you know, it's in sync. I got it.
You hear Balak and the other security guy just kind of like walk and just kind of look at what's going on.
I want to get their attention while that's happening.
Yeah, okay.
And basically answer his question from earlier. He asked if we would trust something that gave this to us. So David's going to say, Balak, I wouldn't trust anything that seems to be from somewhere else, because you don't know its motivations. You don't know its thought patterns. I mean, it could be completely, completely different from us. I've had the privilege to get to know some things that are pretty different from us, and let me tell you, they don't understand us. There's no way we're going to understand them. Whatever they're planning, whatever they're hoping for, it's beyond our ken.
I very much agree.
How much? And he looks at him. He's like, you know, hands on the wheel of the boat, if there's a wheel or something. Or
yeah.
He looks at Balak in his eyes and he says, "What did that cost?"
This?
Yeah, gesturing to the book.
From what I understand, it was an auction. It was to be negotiated, but the starting price.
That's not what I'm talking about.
How many fucking lives did it cost?
Oh, this one in particular? Couldn't tell you. But all the research that it led to, I remember. Piece of an aircraft that they were trying. You saw some of its fruits on that NRO silent flying killer that you took down. That is anti-gravity technology, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Getting there, however. Oh, he kind of, like, looks exhausted. It's too much. There's too much to talk about. Too quickly.
United States military superiority, David.
That's right.
You know, that's worth billions.
There's always a high cost.
It doesn't matter.
We do move in billions, yes. We know advantages when we see them. And that, he turns to where the little booby-trapped version of the cookbook is being prepared. That is an advantage.
David will butt in again. He'll say, "So you want to know who sent us, huh?"
David?
I want a confirmation.
He'll look at him and look at Jan.
I shake my head.
And back to Balak, and he says, "Does majestic mean anything to you?"
Hmm. Well, if you were sent by them, I wouldn't know.
Interesting. That's all David was trying to do is figure that out.
We can play coy as much as we want, but I know you're sent by Delta Green. I've been tapping you guys for many years now.
What's Delta Green?
I'm not quite sure, actually. But it seems you're opposing this majestic you spoke of.
How close are we to the shore?
About, you think, 10 minutes left.
Okay, we just keep talking for 10 more minutes.
As it's approaching, you see he kind of turns and looks at you, Jan, and says, "You know, an advantage is valuable when there's one, right?"
I know.
How are the treatments going?
So that catches Jan off guard.
David looks over.
Is it working as you'd hoped?
What are you talking about?
Well, the cancer treatments for Sheila.
You son of a bitch.
Advantages. You said it yourself.
Fuck.
Anything happens to me, it stops.
She's good. She's in remission.
Good. I'm happy to hear it.
But, as you know, her treating physician says she has to keep taking that pill every month, once a month. to keep the cancer in remission. It's been working. And I think I know what you're saying to me, right?
It's been quite hard, I'll be honest with you, to stop your previous doctors to keep asking how that's even possible, but that's my own cross to bear.
Miracles. Medical fucking miracles. Oh, there's always a catch. God damn it!
Hey, calm down.
So this cookbook, I've got good people on my side, very intelligent people, and I think it would be safer in my hands.
Hey, listen, Bellick, we can't, that's not the deal, but I'll counteroffer you. You walk away. We walk away, the book and the boat goes boom. And we all live to see another day. I can do that.
You tell your bosses that it got lost in the shuffle or something.
It blew up, and I know you fuckers can find me.
You saw what us fuckers do. You saw it happen on that island. That was a death trap. I'm trying to go counter.
Oh, God damn.
Can I finish casting my spell now?
maybe that would be our, maybe that's our lifeline.
So I would have, like, the spell, chanting and everything, immediately the guard aims. It seems like he knows, or at least, I think I'll make you roll stuff to even be able to pull this off.
How long is two turns? Is it 12 seconds?
It's like two actions, you know?
It depends. In this case, I would say it like happens over the conversation, so probably several minutes. But yeah, still stealth.
65 over 20.
Okay.
Try again.
You can feel lucky if you want.
Punk.
I do have lots of willpower, but I still feel like something is coming after us. What about that's a 33.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's bad, right?
Yeah, that's.
No. Oh shit! Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's bad. 20. I was thinking it was an unnatural roll, and it was really good.
Oh nope. Whoops.
Oh no, that's really bad. Fuck. I have to lose. What do I roll for the power loss?
1d8.
Is it an 8?
That's willpower.
Willpower. Yep.
No big deal.
How much sand do you have left?
Sand? I don't want to talk about it.
How much?
8.
How much willpower did you lose?
4.
You lose 4 sand.
Oh my god.
Oh lord.
Oh, that's half of his sanity.
As you just do kind of like try to hide this infallible suggestion, and you see that the security guard just kind of looks at you and kind of walks over and says, "Stop that. I don't know what you're doing, but I don't like it." And as he says so, you kind of see other versions of him repeating and then turning to tell you stop that. So like there's just something that just kind of echoes in the world and kind of loops back that is absolutely mind-bending. And at the edge of his eye as he says this, there's just a shiver that goes down your spine, and you just see like a what seems to be moving like a shard of glass that just kind of twirls and whatever you're trying to do just stops. You just took one hell of a risk. You can try again if you want. But there was something in that weird shard in his eye that you can push it again, is what I'm saying.
All right, does Jan know what Crawford can do? I mean, at a character I do, but I don't know if Jan knows what Crawford can do.
Probably not fully.
Not fully, no.
I mean, you know some of it. You know I can do withering.
Yeah.
You watched that.
And Sacred Flame.
Have I ever seen you do the mind control or mind bending thing?
I told you I could do it straight up.
Yeah, that's right. He did tell us.
He said okay. So.
All right. So I think this is what Jan's going to do. While the guard is basically very focused on Crawford and telling him to stop, I think Jan will very quietly set the booby trap book aside, reach into a pocket where his garrote is, and very calmly and slowly and stealthily pull up behind the guard and just garrote this guy. Wire around his neck, tighten it, and pull this guy. And basically, we're going to have to be in the struggle until he dies from strangulation.
Yep.
Is how the process goes.
And I'm going to finish casting my spell while that happens.
Yeah, and yeah, he's. I got this guy.
I pull a gun on Bellick.
Yeah. And I will basically pin him and strangle him for until he goes unconscious or dies, and we will advance to Crawford.
Okay.
And I'll say, as that happens, as it's all this huge commotion is happening right now.
In like a split second.
I see it. I pull a gun. I point at Michael Bellick, and I say, "Hey now, hey, no one is gonna hurt you." As I'm pointing a gun at him, like totally cool voice, totally cool voice.
You're pointing a gun at him, and his bodyguard is being corroded.
Yep, it's just a power move. And I say, we're all going to get out of here alive. The four of us.
Quick math.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So the guy is... I won't even make you roll. Like, it just happens. He struggles. You see the face kind of turn blue and then purple, and the eyes just grotesquely kind of pop out a little bit out of their sockets. Struggles, leaves heel marks, like boot marks, over mm-hmm. the surface of the boat. Trying to get up, does not manage to, and he is dead.
Yeah, so I probably lose a sand for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm dead to the violence, but that's still...
Yeah, okay. That's still one.
That's still one.
It's brutal, yeah.
And when that's done, I make sure he's dead and set him down on the floor of the boat.
Yeah.
And put the wire away and look over at Bellick.
I would just toss him overboard.
No. He's going to blow up with the boat.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Listen, Bellick, how do we all walk away alive? What do you got for me? I need something that I can believe in.
I'll slowly lower my gun.
You see his eyes kind of shoot to everyone, and he's thinking.
I got an idea. Hear me out. How about you forget you ever saw us? I got to look over at Crawford for a second. Can you do that, Crawford?
Yeah, what is Crawford planning to do?
Not in him walk away. Well...
No, Listen, Crawford, if he dies...
Oh, no, I got this.
My wife is dead. So this guy, he doesn't... He's not. He's got to live.
No, I got this.
I am part of the steering committee of that group we've been talking about. If I disappear, and it is not a threat, because I won't be here. They will find you.
They're gonna look for us anyway.
They have more resources than you can possibly imagine.
Clearly.
They've got the US government in their palm.
Fuck.
What's Crawford doing?
Just let me roll pow against him. I got this.
Roll pow. Yeah, that's roll pow.
Go for it.
He just kind of looks at you, and then he loses sand from it, as he just kind of looks kind of...
14.
14? Amazing.
That might not be good, though.
Well...
It's contested.
It's contested, but that is a failure on my end.
Oh.
Nice.
Yep, I rolled an 89, and he has, well, not 89.
Yeah.
So what is it you do? You, infallible suggestion?
Yep.
What is your suggestion?
My ability to give him a suggestion lasts a very short amount of time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But whatever I tell him to do, he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
You will forget the last 5 hours. They will be a complete black hole in your memory. You will have no idea how you got off the island, or why the boat sitting next to you looks like a new kitten.
You see his eyes kind of just glaze over.
Can you tell him to go unconscious or something?
Sleep.
He kind of like struggles a little bit. Fairfield. And he just kind of stares blankly at the horizon.
All right, David.
Is that good enough?
I hope. Make the call to our pilot. We need to evac as soon as possible. We've got to get the hell out of here.
All right. Yeah, and he'll pull out.
You sure you want me to leave him alive?
Yeah. This guy knows shit.
Yeah, he resisted that shit. Like, I don't know. It probably worked. It would work on you. But I don't know that it worked on him.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
We've seen some weird shit today, too.
And you asked him to sleep, right?
Yeah.
He sleeps.
And he didn't.
No, he just kind of like leans down and closes his eyes. Yeah.
Okay.
But like on most people, this is instant, right? You tell them to do something, they fucking do it. Like, he's resisting. He's obviously strong. And that would worry Crawford.
I pull out the sat phone and start dialing our pilot.
Yep. You dial the pilot. Kind of rings a little bit. Three rings. Then it picks up. It sounds like it kind of scratches against the surface or something. Or it's like being pulled through a coat or something like that. And you hear a voice that is not the pilot at all.
Hello.
Are
you looking for your pilot?
I hang up the phone.
Oh, wait.
And I immediately call my contact at MI6.
Okay. yep. So, yeah, you call your contact. It rings a little bit, and it's like a front for commerce, where you need to like, you were given a number, like a
yep.
like an office or something, and then it picks up.
Oh yes.
Hey, I always forget. Would this guy have my cover identity or my real name?
Cover.
Okay, so I'll say, hey, it's Windsor. We need help ASAP. We need evac.
Did you do it?
Yes.
Where?
We're heading onto the coast of, I'll tell them the name of the place we're going to be, like, mooring at.
All right.
We'll try to get to Glasgow.
Good.
How fast can you get here?
Couple of hours.
Okay, yeah, we'll meet you in Glasgow then.
Eventually, you do arrive to the coast, and it's quite like a barren...
oh. Before that happens, though, after the phone call, I throw the sat phone into the water.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, a barren coast, that's where we want to be. Not on a dock or a pier.
It's just a barren coast on the west side of Degnish. And it's quite... Like, you're going to need a lift or something, because it's pretty far.
That's fine with me.
You'd start hoofing it. And get into darkness, into the woods or something.
First, let's escort your new best buddy off the boat. Leave the body here. I'll place the book and the body down in like the lowest part of the boat. Like, stuff it down there in the fore, you know, the little cabin beneath the front of the boat.
Yeah.
Put it down there. Anything we want to dispose of, I'll toss down there as well.
Yep.
Frankly, yeah, I don't think I gotta lose my tack armor and I gotta lose my military gear. I'm gonna go into the civilization here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take this off. I'll take my grenades and take all the gear off. I'll put the excess explosives in there. I'm not taking those with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're loaded up. Everything else, anything else we wanna lose, I'll keep my, you know, my sidearm, which I can conceal with the silencer. Just some keep my knife, basic equipment. But all the other stuff, tactical stuff, I gotta leave.
Mm.
Mission's over. Let's burn it. So I'm gonna blow up the boat is what I want to do. But once we're clear of the boat, I'm blowing up, you know, C4, the book, the boat, the body, everything is getting blown sky high, and then we got to get the hell out of this location. After that, it goes.
Can I make a request?
Yeah.
Can you give the detonator to Crawford? Just so he has the honor.
I'm gonna look at Crawford, and just when I look at the man's face, what do I see?
For sand.
What do we see in Crawford? How much sand he has left in those bright eyes?
They're still pretty bright. They're still very flame-like in appearance. Like, they're just...
All right.
Crawford's resigned at this point.
I will click the detonator cover open and offer the detonator to Crawford as a gesture of goodwill.
You press it?
Yeah. I'll just take it and I'll flip it and I'll watch the boat. Like, I'm not fully convinced it's going to destroy the book.
I'm not either.
I hope so. We'll find out.
it goes boom, and you see everything begin to burn on the side of this small rocky shore. And paying attention to the book, you see that the weird kind of like leathery gray-ish cover it had just kind of crumples in a really weird paper-like way, but also bubbles, and then it kind of vanishes, and the actual paper also burns. So yes, the cookbook is destroyed.
Nice.
Of course, we got to walk away from the explosion, gentlemen. You know, what are we doing? We're missing a prime opportunity, you know, to look like badasses.
You also see from this distance, as now you guys spent quite an evening on Torso Island, and the sun is beginning to rise a little bit. Like, it's starting to crest just in that grayish light over the horizon. And you can see Torso Island from here. You're not very far. You spent maybe 20 minutes, not even, in the boat.
Wow, okay.
And you see, well, towering over the island, the mansion. Or rather, an absence of mansion. Everything is completely destroyed. You see that it is still, some parts of it are still on fire. You see there are about 5 helicopters hovering around it. And you can, even from that distance, you can see people around. And you can see as well that it kind of all, like a large blast happened. Parts of it burnt down, collapsed. Some parts are still standing, but that place is devastated. That was the resulting effect of the auction. And the three of you as well.
Yep.
I would just chuckle.
All right, we gotta go. We've just lit a huge bonfire and a signal on the beach. We need to move.
And we left Bellick there on the beach.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, cool.
He's just kind of there, like peacefully sleeping.
Yeah. Awesome.
He'll be okay. It's a bit chilly, but he's in a big suit. He should be fine.
Little pieces of debris from the explosion land on him gently.
Yep. Yeah, his suit is dirtied. There's a bit of ash that goes on it.
Well, yeah, we're gonna get the hell out of there as fast as we can, as covertly as we can, and try to start making our way towards Glasgow.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna go over details too much. You go, there's a small farm close by, the Deganish Farmhouse. Go there. It's like a little family. They say like, "Oh, you look terrible." Whatever. Okay,
can we not get a lift from them? I'd rather steal a vehicle or
oh, sure.
I don't want them knowing that we're here. I'll steal their truck or something.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what you do.
The innocent farming family. We steal their truck.
Well, we'll leave it behind. They can recover it later.
Okay.
So you steal this rusty truck, and you drive, put some gas in it maybe, and you drive all the way to Glasgow. It's quite to drive. You can check on the map later if you want, but it kind of goes up, then curves down, then up again, then down. Like, it takes a couple of hours.
Oh my god.
It is exhausting. But you do arrive to Glasgow at the given point.
I would be asleep in the truck obnoxiously. Mm-hmm. Probably snoring very loudly and annoyingly.
I'm driving. I'll look over at David. I guess, is Crawford between us? Is that what the situation we're dealing with here?
That would be the most annoying, yes.
Yeah, he's right in the middle. He's right in the middle of this cab.
Right in the middle.
It's a single bench truck, like a little truck. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm big. Like, I'm the biggest of us.
Corbin looks exhausted.
Yeah, technically, if we roll anything, all of you is minus 20%. Like, you guys are exhausted.
David, what do we do with him?
With who? With Crawford?
Yeah.
So he'll look at you, like, sincerely in the eyes, and he'll say, like, he's a free man.
Can we leave him in Scotland?
Why don't we ask him when he wakes up?
Can we leave him in... Let's leave him in Scotland. It's better that way. If we can't bring him back in the States.
You know, I kind of grown to like the guy. As chaotic as he is.
Come on. We can't, David. We can't do that. Just give the man his freedom.
All right, fine.
There's only so far I can do this, man. Before, you know, only so much I can do.
Yeah, I hear you.
So maybe give him some money to bust up. I don't know. He can take the train. he can go to London. I don't. He can do Crawford shit while we get the hell out of this country.
Okay. All right.
All right. Yeah. So I mean, I'll drive us into town. I'll leave the car in some very busy, crowded parking lot. You know, where the police will eventually recover it.
Yep.
And we'll walk by foot to the rendezvous location.
Before we do that, I'll talk to Crawford, you know, because we're up, we're around, and
yeah, eventually wakes up, get ready to yeah. go there.
Maybe as we're getting out of the truck, and just say, "All right, buddy. Well, this is the end of the road for us. So, I made a promise. If you helped us through this, you'd be a free man. Are you okay to just stay here for a bit? In the UK, I mean."
I'll dig in my pocket, and I probably got, I don't know, like 150, 200 pounds or something, whatever spare cash I've got.
David will have cash too. He'll pull out.
Yeah, I'll empty my pocket out, give some cash to Crawford.
I'll take the cash and just smile and tell the guy and be like, "You know, it was kind of fun." I just leave.
I stick out my hand to shake his hand before he leaves.
I'm already gone.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I just shake my head and watch him go away.
Just disappear into a crowd.
Yeah.
Loose cannon.
Yup. With four sand.
Oh, God.
But you held your end of the bargain.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a net win or not for humanity as a whole.
I don't either.
Oh, man. I have faith in him.
So the both of you go to the rendezvous point. It's a nice little, right now snow-covered park where you see there's a couple of like, kids and families just kind of, like, throwing the snow. It's not very good, like, snow. Like, it's not very compact snow to throw snowballs, but they just kind of play in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's snow that melts very fast. There's families and everything, and you see, like, a man that looks like a businessman there, just kind of currently smoking a cigarette. And as soon as you see him, he sees you as well, and he just does like a nod, polite nod.
Do I recognize him?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll walk over to him.
Is Catherine?
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I'll walk in behind. I've got behind David. I'll just nod as well.
Great news.
Somehow, miraculously, we managed to tick all the boxes this time.
Well, good. There's one box that you would need to tick, however. I was reprimanded or talked to somewhat severely simply because I, not all of us, but I at least, and others, who sent you? We're trying to establish lines of contact here.
This is the same guy that we met with originally and coordinated with?
Yep.
I look at Jan.
He shrugs and just looks back at you with a kind of, I don't know, look on his face.
Turn back to him and I'll say, well, I guess we're called Delta Green?
Hmm. But who...
I've got a really high human. Can I... What's the impression I get from this guy?
Roll. And you're exhausted, so at a minus 20%.
Oh.
All right, what do we get? 56.
What's the name?
No, I get that. I'm trying to figure out, does it seem like... You know, it's like, if I give him the name... He said he's trying to establish, like, lines of contact. Is that...
Yep.
A positive thing then, or is it, do I get the impression he's going to try to like hunt down Fairfield?
You're not entirely sure, but it's a weird question.
Yeah, it is a weird question. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll trust him. I'll say Fairfield.
He nods. Hopefully, we can work again if ever the need arises.
Hey, we're always open to collaboration.
Good.
More the merrier.
Offers his hand.
Yeah, I'll shake him.
Shakes your hand. Nods at you, Jan.
We got a lot of heat on us. Can we get out of this country as soon as possible?
Just kind of turns his cigarette and like rolls it between his fingers. Sure. favor. And he just throws a cigarette and he kind of leaves. And with him, you see like three other people in the park leave at the same time.
Hmm.
And yeah, and eventually everything is organized and planned for you to have, especially with you, David, it's kind of coordinated to have cover identities, and you are shipped back to the United States and you report back to Fairfield.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think just David reports back to him, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think, I mean, Jan's got to go home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause he's worried.
Yeah. Shaken up, I bet.
He's real worried about what this means.
Yep.
Yeah. I think David will try to meet with Fairfield in person. Somehow.
He's at the same place.
Okay. My car's there too, so I'll head back that way and then yep. Meet up with him.
You meet back up with him, and you see that there's several bottles. Remember, he served you drinks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More are empty. He looks like shit. He greets you in. He looks exhausted, hungover, not very professional.
Right.
But he still got that sharp look he always had. Kind of looks at you and says, "So, David, how did it go?"
I would say everything was a success, miraculously.
He looks a bit... Maybe you would have expected him to be a bit more happy, but he just kind of nods. "Well, you hunker down for some time, all right?"
Yeah, and by the way, our friends across the pond are back in the game.
Mm.
They weren't for a minute, but it sounds like whatever happened, they managed to pull themselves together, and they're looking for some assistance.
I'll be sure to remember.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Reggie, are you okay?
No. Do you feel like you achieved something worthwhile?
Well, it depends. Do you mean in life? Or this past few days?
This. You got rid of the book?
We got rid of the book. I don't know. I think I feel like there's a game being played that's so far beyond my ability to comprehend it, that I guess I don't mind so much being the pawn on the board. But I don't know whether what we're doing is worth it. You know what I mean?
I do. I understand what you mean. I think, I don't think we'll see each other again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You feel like you just set something very big in motion? Because I do.
Hmm.
I knew only you and Deckard could do it. And that freak.
Well, we had a little help from him. I mean, you know, I was telling Jan, I kind of come to like the guy a little bit. He grows on you. Like a fungus.
That's what cult leaders do, don't they? They grow on you.
Yeah. Well.
Well.
He was charming.
If anything, I'm sure we'll hear about on the news, maybe.
God, I hope not.
At least I'll keep an eye on the Scottish papers out of pure possible entertainment. But thanks. Thank you for this.
Thanks for the opportunity.
It's bigger than you think.
I believe you.
He offers his hand.
Yeah, David will shake his hand, and then, and you know, not having a drink if he offers him one or anything, but he'll shake his hand, nod, and turn around and start heading back to his car.
So, strong grip. Just nods. And David.
Yeah, I turn around, back to face him. Yes, sir.
Yeah, go on, kid.
I'll just nod.
Go back to your car and you drive away. Crawford, you get to enjoy the fruits of Glasgow and Scotland for some time. You have some cash. Eventually, you know, what do you do there? Like, briefly.
So, I think immediately I would call, a big donor or somebody that, had money in the church, cult, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I get more money. And, I'm still an American citizen, am I not?
Yeah, you are.
Probably as quickly as possible, I would go back to Nebraska.
Damn it!
Does not enjoy the fruits of his labor.
No.
Just goes back to Nebraska. At the airport, maybe in the line to board the plane, someone drops a hot coffee on you. It doesn't burn that much. But just kind of oh my god, I'm so sorry, would you like another one and everything? And you see this beautifully dressed man with these very nice shoes and some kind of little small, it seems to be a little pin, a small inverted metallic pin. Somewhat tall, kind of young face, but not at the same time. A slick back, black hair, looks vaguely Egyptian or Arabic. This is Alziz, and he just got a dropped a coffee on you on purpose. Just looks at you with his teeth flashing. Hello, Crawford.
Man, how many of them are there?
Do you say that to him?
Yeah.
He just laughs. That's a good question. That was quite rude.
You dropping a coffee on me? I agree.
No. You taking care of a very promising member with a very enticing offer that I've given you as well. I'm not too happy.
I didn't get the impression that you were looking for someone that wasn't the strongest.
Strong, not strong. It's all very, very relative. It's people of importance who are at the places that I need at the right time. You were on that nexus, you were on that ley line, and you did not hop in. I gave you an opportunity to rise above the slaughterhouse of mankind, and you spat in my face and said no.
I did the same thing I always do. I chose myself.
I can understand the pursuit for power, but that is a decision you will live to regret. And he just kind of starts walking away, whistles a little bit, kind of turns around and flashes again his very nice smile and says, "The fun in it is, you'll never know when. Have a safe trip back." And he walks away.
I'll let him get, significantly far away that I have to yell and be awkward about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yell, "I thought we were going to the club, man."
"You had a chance, and you said no." And as he says this, he's farther away, but he's 30 feet, down in the airport, and it is noisy. But you heard it as if he just whispered it in your ear. And he just walks away and disappears into the crowd.
Well, I'll just smile and be in line.
Yeah, waiting for your flight back.
What the hell is that guy?
And to finish things off, after all of you go back to your lives and yawn, you see that the treatments are still ongoing. Everything is okay. Perhaps you take precautions because things got very hot.
He takes precautions. He basically goes home to his newlywed wife, right? And just basically holds her for a while. And, and doesn't want to talk about it, which is pretty typical for him. He doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants to be there, appreciate, this moment. And then the next day he starts getting kind of preppery, preparing shit and getting ordering things and preparing things and start working on it. But he's trying to, but he stays close. He's really, you know, he's always in the house. He's always, but eventually, if as things don't happen to him, as nobody comes, no helicopters appear, right? Right.
Nope.
Nobody falls down from the sky. He will eventually lower his guard in time.
Okay, like the day that happens, I want to be sitting at, like, you're going to refill the pills or she has an appointment or whatever. I want to be at that appointment.
Oh my god, what a fucker.
Crawford would absolutely do that.
Somewhere, a telephone rings on an airbase. Someone picks up, then dials another call to somewhere else. A chain of a very secretive command is obeyed in the United States until the right call gets to the right person, Justin Croft. And a man simply says to this very well-placed, powerful figure.
We've received information about, you wanted a report analysis on the main threat for the island, sir. We believe we have several names. We believe that these identities would have been covered. And even the ones that have not been covered have changed by now. I'm afraid not entirely certain we would be able to find them. They were quite professional, quite capable. However, we have insider forces from the United Kingdom that have given us a name. On all accounts, sir, this is where we should strike. Reginald Fairfield.